Cape Talk. Food.
Now, I've spent rather too much time over the past fortnight focusing on the joy of a relaxed, drawn-out meal prepared at leisure, enjoyed at leisure, no devices at the table, and possibly most importantly, the gift of time. Time to spend preparing it, time to spend choosing fresh, locally grown produce from the local farmers markets, etc. It's the kind of food that makes you feel nourished and loved. The very antithesis of the kind of overprocessed fast food options that, let's face it, we often resort to all too readily because we live such time-stressed lives. Now, these kinds of foods are also at the heart of something called the slow food movement, an international movement born in the heart of Italy, but which has been embraced all over the world, including here in Cape Town. We've actually got several different variations groups that are part of the slow food movement. Slow food movement. Today I want to talk to Joe Hunter Adams, who is the head of the Southern Peninsula Good Food Movement. Talk a little bit about what it is all about, how you become involved in slow food, and what it really means, because it's not only about how long it takes you to cook the meal, is it? Joe Hunter Adams, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pippa. The Good Food Clubs are a group of 11 clubs around the Southern Peninsula, not around the Southern Peninsula, around Cape Town. And our goal is really to connect families and individuals with the people growing and processing their food. So we're really interested in how do we make a closer relationship with farmers and make a close relationship with small businesses in the context of sort of a South Africa where it's really hard to be a small business owner. It's really hard to be a small farmer. So we're trying to make that connection in the hopes that we can make good food more accessible to families and also that we can provide a fair price to and a living wage to farmers and their workers.
Okay, lots of very big issues here to tackle, and some of which are making me think immediately of an interview I did a couple of weeks ago with Leonie Joubert, the science writer, whose book Tomatoes and Taxi Rank speaks exactly to this issue, that we are so disconnected from the source of our food that the way the food system and its industrialization has come into play means that we are totally at arm's length from where our food is grown and how it is processed to the detriment of the people who are eating it. How did this all get started in Cape Town, Joe?
So I think originally it started 11 years ago or so, and I think originally it was about saving money, getting better food for less. Mm-hmm. But I think as time has gone on, we've really been thinking a lot more deeply about just the complexity of what it means to provide good food in a system that doesn't really favor good food. Mm. So originally I think it was really about our founder Liesl trying to figure out a way to feed her family better with the budget she had. But as we've grown, we've really been thinking in a lot more complex terms about how do we do that in a way that is sustainable for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the sort of practicalities of what it means to be a member of one of these good food clubs, Joe.
We try not to get too big. That's the first thing. And it's generally families that are ordering about 2 weeks before they pick up. So we give them 1 week to order their food for the month. 1 week we let our suppliers know what we're going to be needing, and we give them a week to deliver. And then we have a day when everyone comes and picks up their food for the month.
Okay, and let's talk about the suppliers and the kinds of things that people are ordering then. So typically, are we talking just fresh produce? Are we talking meat? Are we talking sort of pantry staples?
Yeah, so all of the above. Fresh produce is actually one of the harder things to source because, you know, you can't really source for the whole month. But we do dairy, we do meat, we do pantry staples. And I think we're always interested in kind of covering more of a family's needs and an individual's needs for the month. So we sort of add suppliers as we see a need to do so.
And what does it take to become one of your suppliers? What are the criteria?
So I think that's another place where it is really, really complicated. I think it's all about relationships. I can talk for our group down in the Southern Peninsula. We're interested in seeing that the farmer is interested in sustainable values, which doesn't mean that they have to be organic, but just that they are interested in stewardship, I guess. Mm-hmm. Stewardship is maybe the best word. And then in terms of small businesses, I think it is really based on this individual relationship and trying to talk through values together. It's not as simple as saying, are you organic? Are you less than 100 kilometers away? We really focus on understanding the supplier on an individual basis. And I think context matters a lot. For example, our groups in the center of the city are much more accessible for a lot of farmers to get to, whereas it's much harder for farmers, say, to drive down to the Southern Peninsula for a delivery. So things like travel times all play such a big part when you're dealing with very, very small margins and very small operations.
Mm. You talk about fairness to the farmers and fair farming practice being part of the philosophy, Joe. So I hear what you're saying, that it's got to be worthwhile for the farmers to come to you with these deliveries, even if it is a once-a-month delivery option. What else do you look at? I mean, you've spoke about the way they farm. Do you also pay a lot of attention to the way they treat the people on their farms? Is it something that you go and investigate?
Yes. We have a master's student actually looking into exactly those kinds of issues. I think labor is so central to these discussions, and it's actually very hard to grapple with. So people are doing sort of site visits to farms and to businesses, and I think a lot of it has to be being able to gradually open up conversations and have really frank conversations. You know, if you're paying your worker X, can you just explain why? Because often, the more we learn, the less we know, kind of. So we find we really want to understand, you know, why a business operates the way it does. Without judgment, and then be sort of a helpful partner in saying, well, these are the values that we hold dear. This is the kind of living conditions that we want to see and we want to support, even if that means that we have to pay more for our food if we can afford it. So it's balancing like such a lot of different priorities, and I don't think we do it perfectly yet, but I think the goal is to be engaged in that conversation and do the best we can in this very broken food system.
Mm. Joe, you mentioned that you like to keep your groups relatively small in number, but there's no limit to the number of groups that can be formed, if I can put it that way. So if somebody listening is going, I so relate to this kind of food story that you're telling and I subscribe to the kind of values that you're talking about, I'd like to be part of this. What's the next step for them?
So actually, we've been discussing this quite a lot because there have been quite a few new groups starting for exactly the reason that you talk about. And so we're thinking about how to be a support for other groups that want to start while, you know, not trying to be a franchise. We're not a franchise. We're just groups that are trying to do similar things. So at the moment, I think we're kind of at capacity for good food clubs, but we would love to support and leverage other groups starting, having their own names. Or because the one challenge that we have is as we grow, we potentially are also growing the farms that we're supporting. The bigger we get, the bigger the farms get, potentially. So we think, or we stretch them. And so it is quite complex how we think about starting new groups, maybe with new suppliers and new farms so that we're supporting the growth of small farms and small businesses.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about costs. Joe, you've mentioned two things. You've mentioned one, that in some cases you are people who are prepared to pay more to know that the food that you're sourcing is good, slow food, as it were. On the other hand, you did say at the beginning that this began 11 years ago as a way of looking for better food for less money. Some people might be wondering how those two play out against each other. Does this option work out cost effectively for a family overall?
I think it does. As someone who's been a part of the clubs for quite a few years before I actually started one of our own, I would say, you know, it is a very middle class phenomenon right now, and we're very aware of that. And it's not something we are, you know, we're really interested in how it can be something more than just a middle class phenomenon. Let me just say that. So it's not, you know, it's not cheaper than going to the supermarket, that's for sure. But it is much more affordable than a lot of other organic options, because we are getting wholesale prices. But we are really, really interested in how do we make it accessible to not just the middle class. And we haven't really found good answers for that yet.
Okay. It's a conversation, I think, that is happening all over the country and I think all over the world, as we are seeing a more conscious generation who is asking questions about where food comes from and the conditions on the farms where it is produced and the pesticides, etc., that are being used on crops. There is a lot more awareness in the younger generation than there would have been a generation ago. So I'm sure as much as you're having the conversation, that conversation is being echoed all over the world. And really, that's what the slow food movement at its heart is all about. Joe, is there a website or a Facebook page that we can direct listeners to who would like to continue that conversation and maybe engage with you and say, I would like advice on how to set my own club up and find my own suppliers? How would they best reach out to you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that question, and I think the best thing to do right now is to Google Good Food Club and then Google the part of Cape Town that you live in, because then you'll come up with the Good Food Club that is closest to your area. We don't have an umbrella website right now, but we have a lot of the websites for the specific parts of Cape Town. So we're Good Food Club Valley, if you want to Google that.
Joe Hunter-Adams, thanks so much for chatting to me today, the head of the Good Food Club for the Southern Peninsula. So as she suggested, the Google search term you want to use is Good Food Clubs. If you want to really sort of take this conversation to where it began internationally, you want to Google the Slow Food Movement. It was founded in Turin in Italy quite a long time ago now, and read up more about the ethos behind it. It is this combination of awareness of the nutritional value of the food, but also awareness of the impact of farming on the environment.